Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Well, it's the man of the hour, the competition I devour. It's Big Stove, I'm on the mission, chilling with Amy in the After Hours. When I'm on the court, they say he's hot like Okafor. But I'm more like Isaac Feldman, because I'm Lord of the Boards. Or the man on the scene, like my homie Peter Schwartz. Or like Tom, the producer, the head coach of this court.
I wonder if that's the first time Schwartz has ever been called someone's homie.
Back to the topic, cause Miss Amy's about to drop it. Play by play, she got the knowledge. Can't no other woman top of the pioneer in this business. Sit back, you're gonna witness a woman in her prime who's always swinging for the fence. So sit back and relax and kick up your feet, cause you're rocking with Amy Lawrence from 11 to 3. Yeah. N-E-R-D-A-L-E-R-T.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I've got some nerd alerts for you. That's how you spell it. The Golden Knights, who wrapped up their third playoff game and their third playoff win late on Sunday night. In fact, just before we went on the air, they are the third franchise in NHL history to win each of their first three playoff games and the only club to do it in its inaugural season. And so their march, their historic, unprecedented march continues. They won the first two in Las Vegas, and then with three goals in the third period, grabbed another big victory, and this one against the Kings. The Kings have not been able to generate much offense. It really does help that the Penguins have got guys with playoff experience, with Stanley Cup winning experience, like Marc-Andre Fleury. A guy like James Neal, too, who had one of their goals in the third period. They just look relentless. And we talk about it a lot in sports. Chemistry, chemistry, chemistry. How do you get it? Does it come from winning? But you can't say that about the Golden Knights. They're an example of a group of guys who put aside their egos. In fact, in some cases, their egos are probably a bit bruised, because they were left unprotected by their former clubs. Put aside their egos, put aside whatever preconceived notions they had, adopted this grand new challenge, embraced it, decided, yep, we're going to give it everything we've got. Gerard Gallant has been fantastic, no nonsense, not treating them like they're newbies or giving them a cushion. George McPhee did a ton of research. He was meticulous in putting this team together. And yes, the winning helps, but in this case, the chemistry is a result of these guys all deciding, we're going to freaking do this. And so you put them on the ice, you say, go, and they're all professionals. Yeah, they're working hard. They recognize the uphill climb in front of them. But I love the fact that they've been professional about it. There are a lot of athletes, pro athletes, who wouldn't be able to handle this quite as much, or would make it personal, more about them than it is about the team. And so the Knights are just the third franchise in NHL history to win each of their first three playoff games and the only club to do it in their first year of operation. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free number here inside our Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and send me your picks for Man Crush Monday. Bartolo Colon, he's getting a bunch of momentum early in the show. And then a bunch of you also weighing in on Facebook, where Tom's put up some pictures, so easy to spot. You don't have to go with our pictures. You can send me your own picture. Someone actually posted a GIF of a goat. I'm just going to tell you you're going to have to go check it out yourself, but I can't stop watching it. It's, it's unique. So check that out on Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I already said what studio we're in. You don't need to hear it again. Okay, I promised you that we would. Here's a funny thing. Goats and sheep sound a lot alike. So, Isaac, are you sure that was a goat and not? Are you sure that was the After Hours goat and not the After Hours sheep?
Yeah, this thing's got horns.
Okay. You're sure it came from the right farm? Can't believe the boss won't let us have a petting zoo.
Yep, it's a goat.
So unfair. I mean, seriously. The Chicago Cubs going to have a petting zoo. Why can't we? I'm even willing to clean up the poo. All right, do it every day. Anyway. Well, that might be a bit much, but a pony could be okay. Is there room in here for the black stallion?
I don't think so.
Penny would have to come. Oh, my goodness. She loves other animals, so she'd be all about it. Okay, so let's talk about the champs. There's no easy segue. I have no idea how to go from my dog and a petting zoo to the Golden State Warriors. So just we're going to hop right in.
Poop fest.
It would be that, but it wasn't for the Warriors on Saturday as they kicked off, tipped off, faced off, teed off in the playoffs against the San Antonio Spurs, who obviously have been a bit of a rival for them. These two teams over the past 5 years in the West have been the cream of the crop. But there's no Kawhi Leonard, and he's not coming back. Okay, so we'll talk about that here momentarily. But as for the champs, they were aggressive from the word go. And you know what was most impressive about what they did on Saturday in the opener against San Antonio? The defense. That's kind of been the area where Steve Kerr has been frustrated the most this year. And certainly anyone who does basketball for a living, whether it's coach, whether it's play, even those of us who talk about it for a living, you recognize shots come and go. Even for guys as talented as the Golden State Warriors, sometimes the shots just don't drop. And obviously they're without Steph Curry. So a couple of things that stood out to me. The defense was stifling early on. It was a committed defense like we hadn't seen from the Warriors on a consistent basis lately. And it was the whole game. Now, Golden State started Andre Iguodala instead of another point guard. So instead of starting another guard, they went with Andre for defensive purposes. And do you know who the point guard was? Kevin Durant. Now, they all took turns handling the ball because they do. But KD was the guy, the de facto point guard. He was the point forward, a role that we see LeBron James play all the time, a role that I used to watch Larry Bird fill all the time. And so KD handled the offense, and he was brilliant like he normally is. 24 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. Draymond had an all-around strong game. Klay Thompson shot the ball well. But the difference was the defense. And the fact that midway through the fourth quarter, the Spurs only hit 75 points. Now, we know at times their offense disappears. I mean, we've seen it all year. Greg Popovich points to it. I got to stop looking at this goat gif because it's very distracting. So Pop actually said on Sunday that the Spurs were like deer in the headlights, which is interesting because, I mean, I know they don't have Kawhi Leonard, but they do have a bunch of guys who are playoff veterans. They were in the Western Conference Finals a year ago, for heaven's sakes. LaMarcus Aldridge, he struggled against JaVale McGee, who was matched up with him for the most part on D. They only shot 40%. And while, you know, stretches here and there, you'd see Manu, or you would see DeJounte, or a big shot from Tony Parker. Danny Green would hit a three. It just wasn't sustainable. And they really did struggle against the Warriors' defense to find anything that was easy, quote-unquote, that was an open look. And so the champs were aggressive. And, of course, Draymond had to point out afterwards, oh, everybody thought we weren't going to be the same team. Now, I mean, he has the chip on his shoulder, so that's fine. But what I did think was an interesting point that he made, this Warriors team has won without major pieces in the past. They've even won without their head coach.
Yes.
Think about it. This time last year, there was no Steve Kerr because he was trying to figure out this new pain that he was dealing with. They've won without Dre, obviously. There have been times when his mouth got him into trouble, but they won before they had KD. Iguodala's had a bunch of injuries this year. Now Steph Curry. I mean, they've figured out how to win even when they're missing something that you and I might consider critical, a piece that you and I might consider critical. And so I thought their defense was especially noteworthy. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, you may or may not have seen the post-game comments from Greg Popovich, but his choice of words also revealing about what's happening with Kawhi Leonard. Here's the answer, the short answer, nothing. According to a report from Yahoo Sports, he's not been cleared by his own doctors. He's still in New York. He's not even with the team. And that to me is just, that part bothers me. He's not expected to play the rest of the way. No matter how long the Spurs go, he's not expected to play. So if that's the case, put on your damn street clothes and sit with your team. What are you doing in New York? This is supposed to be their franchise guy. Just imagine with me for a second, and I would be right there saying the same exact thing. If this was LeBron James, and he was not even with the team, his doctors haven't cleared him. Okay, fine. But if your doctors haven't cleared you and you're not expected to play the rest of the way, why can't you be with your team? Why can't you do rehab in San Antonio unless something is horribly wrong with that relationship? Now, he's essentially sailed above most criticism. There have been some questions, eyebrows raised. And yeah, the choice of words from Greg Popovich. You'll have to ask his group. You'll have to ask Kawhi and his guys, his team. And what this Yahoo report said that came out on Sunday is that it's gotten to the point where Kawhi's group would have to specifically ask Greg Popovich if he can come back and play. And at this point, not only have his own doctors not cleared him, okay, separate from the team doctors, because the San Antonio doctors cleared him over a month ago. It's been weeks. He's gone back and forth from New York. So Kawhi's own doctors haven't cleared him from this quad injury, and he's not comfortable returning. But now it's got to the point where Popovich is not just going to let him stroll back into the facility. It's unlikely anyway. Not going to let him stroll back in. There's going to have to be a conversation first. And I appreciate that Popovich is not throwing him under the bus. And he's being extremely professional about it. I mean, you know, Pop will, he'll rip his guys if he feels like something's really wrong. I mean, he'll say they're terrible when they're terrible. And that's just part of the deal. You have to know how to take it. But in the case of Kawhi, he's remained as vague as he possibly can and still answer the questions. And this is from a guy who doesn't even care if he answers the questions. Yeah, the fact that he's not with his team bothers me. Maybe he's in pain, right? Maybe he's not able to walk without a limp, which, again, seems like it would be a stretch considering that he's already been cleared by San Antonio's doctors. But whatever the case, if you're not going to play and there's no hope of that happening in the postseason, that you're going to get cleared and get back with your team, at this point, I mean, it would take him a while to get his sea legs under him. Then get back to San Antonio, put on your suit, and sit on the bench. What message does that send to your teammates? Essentially, they haven't seen you. Not much, because we heard from Manu Ginobili not that long ago, maybe several weeks ago, that Kawhi wasn't even at practices every now and then. But he spent a good portion of the second half of this year away from his team in New York. I mean, come on. You're still a San Antonio Spur. You're still earning a paycheck. So get your butt back to Texas and encourage your guys. If nothing else, offer a pair of eyes and ears. He's one of the best two-way players in the league. There's got to be some counsel he can give. And again, if this was LeBron James or Steph Curry or Kevin Durant or Carmelo Anthony, God forbid, because you know Carmelo is the devil, this would be a huge story. And yet, for some reason, it's not been. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And coming up, we'll get to your candidates for Man Crush Monday. The 76ers looked awesome on Saturday in the second half. And so that was a kind of fun coming out party and an extension of their winning streak. Also, our phone number is 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
There it is, folks. The odious, sordid Game 1 streak is dead. The Raptors win Game 1. It's a final at the ACC, 114-106.
Be honest, New York, we got Game 1, as we should. We've been great home at home all year. You know, that's something that we work for, try to really gain that reputation. So I think from the beginning of the season, of how we ended playing off at home is we already had that in our mind. You know, whenever we're on our home court, is we supposed to win. You know, and that's our mindset since the season ended.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
DeMar DeRozan and the Toronto Raptors. They finally earn a win in a playoff series opener. Prior to Saturday, the Raps were 0-10 in playoff series game ones, but no longer. And you hear DeMar say that's what we've worked for all year, to have this top seed, to have the home court advantage, to make it a home court advantage. And on the Raptors radio network, just like you had with the Rockets, there were some times where they were really pushed, but they came through, they survived, they advanced, and it was the triple that was a big deal for them. A playoff record, 16 made threes for the Raptors on Saturday.
Nerd alert.
That's right. Serge Ibaka, 23 points, 12 rebounds. He's a force to be reckoned with, but man, their shooting was also keeping the defense off balance for the Washington Wizards. John Wall looked good. You're an 8 seed. And while they had a couple of leads in this game, you're an 8 seed and you put yourself in that position where you're playing the best team in the East. So it's going to be an uphill battle. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line here at CBS Sports Radio, brought to you by Geico with some great news. There's a quick way that you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. My Geico car insurance bill is due this week. Mike is listening in York, Pennsylvania. Welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Amy, thank you for being a therapeutic voice to my chronic insomnia. I'll try to be coherent. You might want to preface the compelling argument I'm going to make, challenging your assessment of Paul George, with a nerd alert.
Wait, I might want to? No, I can't give you a nerd alert until after
I've
heard
it. I'll see if I can earn a nerd alert. And
okay.
Here's my prediction.
No. Predictions are not nerd alerts. Nerd alerts are stats and facts and figures, and they're kind of funky. Predictions are just guesses.
Okay. No. I have a stat, and that's been empirically verified. But here's why I'm predicting the Jazz will win this series. Paul George did have an outstanding game in leading the Thunder to a win today, but it was game one. And here's the reason I predict the Jazz, with Rudy Gobert, Ricky Rubio, and, of course, Donovan Mitchell, will come back and win the series. It's because Paul George has a statistical anomaly that shows that he lacks the clutch gene. He is 0-18 in taking impactful shots within the last 2 minutes of games. I believe that encompasses the regular season and the postseason. And I'm not criticizing him for this. We all can't be Michael Jordan, but for whatever reason, he failed 18 times out of 18 attempts in shots that could win games for the Pacers and now for the Thunder. So I just wanted to give a counter argument to him self-proclaiming himself as being playoff P. PG-13, because of the cinematic reference, is an excellent nickname, but you can't give yourself a nickname. As a twice-divorced man in Pennsylvania Dutch country, I would love to name myself Matthew McConaughey Doppelganger, but it doesn't work that way. You have to have your own nickname from someone else. So let it be PG-13. Watch him miss a key shot in Salt Lake City later in the series, and then I'll call back and I'll gloat, okay?
Okay. I mean, you gloat to me. I have nothing to do with it. But I will say this as a counter to your counter argument here, Mike. Yeah, I agree with you about the playoff P part. I feel like that's something that he has to earn, but I don't know that I agree with you on the rest. Here's the deal. It doesn't matter anymore whether or not he's clutch, because he is not the only guy in town. Not to mention, he's not even the number one option. That's Russell Westbrook. So yes, of course, he had a great game, and that's the idea, is that now there's a core three, but it's not as though every single game it's got to be Paul George. In fact, I'd be willing to bet for the most part it would be Russell Westbrook who will have the ball in his hands if the game is on the line, because he is the reigning MVP and this is his show. But George was fantastic, and he takes some of the pressure off Russ. So does Carmelo Anthony in turn, though he didn't shoot as well. It's the idea that they're a team now. It's not mano a mano. It's not Russ on one team and PG on another team, and they're trying to carry their respective squads farther down the road. It's, we've come together. We're now a team that has multiple options.
I totally agree with you. And if I could offer an addendum as someone
quickly
who's worked in radio for a number of years,
okay,
and is now trying to get back in radio. I grew up listening to WOAI 1200 out of San Antonio. I've been a Spurs fan my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought you offered the best commentary on what in heaven's name is going on with Kawhi Leonard that I've heard. I know there's an uncle involved. I got very worried as a Spurs nut when I saw Kawhi do a Nike commercial. I'm used to him doing supermarket commercials in San Antonio. I hope that he's not changing, because I love his singular focus, the fact that he revels in the fact that he's an introvert. That's refreshing in this day and age of shameless self-promotion. And I just think Kawhi, I hope he will take the $219 million and stay in San Antonio, because I would hate for him to chase the money and the fame, and he would lose what he already has. I wouldn't even trade Kawhi for LeBron James. And I know that makes me crazy, but he's only 26.
Yeah, no, he's got still the prime of his career ahead of him.
He does. He does. And looking at Manu Ginobili playing better at age 40, almost 41, than he did maybe 5 years ago, Kawhi could win five more titles for the Spurs. I pray that
not if he's not playing
in San Antonio.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to play out. The problem is that they could trade him if they decide that it's a fractured relationship. Mike, thank you so much for your phone call. I hope that you find a job in radio again. It was good to talk to you.
Thank you, and I hope they can get equal value for Kawhi if they trade him, but it ain't going to happen.
All right,
I love
sir.
Your show.
Thank
Take
you
care.
So much.
Bye.
Listening in York, Pennsylvania. I don't know how this is going to play out in the offseason, but it certainly does seem like there are a lot of questions that have to be answered on the side of the Spurs before they can be comfortable again. My point that I made before our last break is just, okay, if you're not going to play, and I think it's been pretty evident, and the point has been clearly made, that Kawhi is not comfortable returning this year and that he needs more time to be confident on that quad muscle. So fine. If that's the case, go back to Texas and support your guys. This is your team. They've all supported you when they've had injuries, right? I mean, this is your ride or die group right here. If you're not going to play, then go home. Rehab there. But it's not like there's a sense of urgency, okay? If you're not going to play, there's no sense of urgency. You don't need to be in New York unless you're not welcome. And that's where the big question comes in. But even so, if I'm Kawhi Leonard, I don't care if it's my uncle. I don't care if it's my mom. And I do love my mom. I don't care who it is. The doctors, they certainly didn't tell him he can't fly, that he can't travel, that he can't wear a suit. That's not hurting his rehab. So go sit on the bench. Go be a cheerleader. It sucks to be injured, but pretty much every athlete goes through it at some point. So be a team player. Try to repair that relationship. I would say restore some trust there.
What you said is correct.
Thank you, Coach Pop. Oh my gosh. His interview with Lisa Salters after the first quarter. I don't even know why they bother. Why not just ask Steve Kerr a question? Or why not just ask an assistant coach a question? Because it's embarrassing. And he gets this smirk on his face when Lisa asks him a question. How can you la 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 la? It doesn't even matter what the question is. His answer is always, we need to play better. And then she asks a follow-up. We need to play better. He said the same exact thing twice.
It's called maturity. It's your job.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he doesn't believe that answering questions in game is his job, or he does the bare minimum of that part of his job. 855-212-4227. That's our number. I'd love to hear from you. Who are your hashtag MCM candidates? A-Law Radio or our Facebook page. I mean, I'm thinking Bartolo Colon is going to outdistance all of you at 44 years old.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
On it is Bufflin. Bufflin failed to clear as Gramlin able to hold it. Got off his goal. He shoots. He scores.
Wow.
Faceoff win for Minnesota. Shot blocked. Now shoots. Jordan Greenway, first goal in a wild sweater. He buries the rebound at the 15-minute mark. Two goals in 20 seconds for Minnesota. It's 5-2.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It was a pair of goals in 20 seconds for the Minnesota Wild, hosting Winnipeg in Game 3 of their Western Conference playoff series, and three goals in under 4 minutes. Yeah, that'll do the trick. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Bob Kurtz with the play-by-play on the Wild Radio Network. I just like the sound of that, the Wild Radio Network. Maybe we should be the Wild Radio Network. So Winnipeg had an early lead and still has the lead in the series 2-1, but Minnesota was able to rebound. And Zach Parise has been great in this series, even though the Wild are down. He's had three goals, so a goal in each one of their games. Pittsburgh featured yet another goal from Sidney Crosby. What a weird series this has been with the Flyers to start. Penguins are up 2-1. And every single one of these games has been a blowout. But Crosby had another goal and three assists for the Penguins on Sunday. And yeah, it's like which version of the Flyers will show up and which version of the Penguins will show up. We talked about the Columbus victory over the Washington Capitals in overtime. And I saw a fun nerd alert from the NHL research department. I follow all the research departments. I'm not sure what that says about me, just that I'm fascinated by these stats. But the Capitals become just the sixth team in NHL history to lose in overtime both games 1 and 2 of a best-of-7 series at home. Nerd alert! So it happens very rarely, obviously. But they drop both games at home to start the series in sudden death. And I would add, they had two-goal leads in both of these games. Now, here's the kicker. Are you ready for the kicker? All five of the previous teams to do what the Capitals just did have lost the series.
Playoffs?
And so if the Capitals are going to extend their playoff run, they're going to have to buck the trend. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio and on Facebook. Now you're sending me pictures of animals. And so Matt didn't want the goat to be lonely, so he sent us a giraffe, which I guess is great and all. But it doesn't answer the question of who should be nervous. Maybe the goat should be nervous. Maybe the giraffe should be nervous. But who should be nervous now? 855-212-4227. Brad is listening in Erie, Pennsylvania. Brad, welcome to After Hours.
How you doing, Amy?
I'm good.
Yeah, I had a great night. I'm not a Cavs fan. Me and my buddy were sitting courtside at the game, and we were really happy to see the Cavs win. I mean,
sitting courtside? How'd you get those tickets?
Well, my buddy does painting for him and stuff, and he gets them. So,
wow, that's impressive.
That's a pink, though. You know, that's the first playoff game I've been to, so it was like really exciting.
Ooh, no doubt, sitting courtside. So, where around the court were you? Between the benches or on the other side?
The other side, yeah.
Did you have any players run into you, sweat on you?
Not really. I was hoping, like, for that. I was hoping, I don't know, it just feel exciting. I was like in shock, you know, like, you know, like, okay.
Yeah, no, I love.
Because the guys are so big, like when they're right up in your face, it's like, wow.
My favorite part of being courtside is that you can hear them talk to one another, which I think is fascinating, just to hear what they're saying. I know some of these guys are mic'd up or they're wired, but to hear them just generally communicate about defense or over the, you know, flow of the game, I think is really neat. It adds so much to it.
And I got an NBA final prediction. I'm going to say it's going to be Houston and, I'd say Philadelphia.
Are you just, like, guessing now?
Well, I don't know. I just think Houston's unbeatable. I don't know. I just think they're going to win it all, you know?
There's no such thing as unbeatable.
Oh, I know. I know that. But I don't know. It's going to be a crapshoot. It's going to be fun playoffs, I think.
Mm-hmm. That's the idea behind.
But I do enjoy listening to your show, and you help because I'm a night owl. And you help me because I work out like early in the morning, and I listen to you while I'm working out. And it really helps my workout.
So. I don't make you fall off the treadmill.
No, nothing like that.
Because sometimes I feel like I say things that probably would be a huge distraction.
And I love it that you have a lot of nice opinions and everything. It's a really good show, you know.
Nice opinions. No one's ever said that about you before, Brad. Thank you.
Okay, but I just really love your show, though, Amy. You're really good.
That's awesome.
You're really good sports.
Well, I'm glad that you had your first playoff basketball experience. It sounds like it was awesome and well worth the wait.
Yes, it was. I really enjoyed myself.
Good. Well, thanks so much for calling and sharing that with me.
Yep, you have a good day.
Thank you. Bye-bye. 855-212-4227. That's our phone number if you want to weigh in. Who should be nervous? I kind of think the Cavs should be nervous. Now, it's one game, and that's the deal. It can disappear, and they can erase all of that. I definitely think Cavs fans should be nervous. I already told you that only one time since the NBA installed seeds in its playoffs, going back to the early 80s, has a four seed or lower. We always come back to this with March Madness. Because I say one thing and people think something else. We'll go with lower seeds here. A four or lower seeds ever won the title, and that was the Rockets back in 1995.
So it's nerd alert.
Going to take some history from LeBron James, like more history. He's had a season full of history, averaging a triple-double in March? But also playing every single game for the first time in his career. The problem is he can't do it alone. No matter how good he is, he cannot do it alone. That's just not the NBA that we live in today. All right, so your Man Crush Monday candidates on Twitter, A-Law Radio, use the MCM, or on our Facebook page. Read a couple of them from Facebook before. And you're also kind of mixing in the comments about who should be nervous. See, Thomas says the Maple Leafs need a win at home to stay in it. Yeah, they sure do. Toronto trailing Boston now 2-0 in their Eastern Conference Series. In fact, both of the top two teams in the East, the Lightning and the Bruins, have looked really good to start out their series and have protected the home ice. But what is that phrase we hear about the postseason all the time? The series doesn't start until a team is lost at home. And right now what they did was defend their home ice. I'm looking at the comments on our Facebook page, but I have to hide the goat because he's highly distracting. Let's see. David says on Facebook, the Cavaliers probably still scratching their heads. Said, Indiana really impressed me. Might get my NBA wish after all. I'm a Sixers and Rockets fan, but I've been hoping. He says in parentheses, not predicting, Amy. Thank you, David. House rules for a Sixer and Rockets final since day one of the regular season and at full strength. Well, they're close, but not quite. We know the Rockets were without Ryan Anderson on Sunday, and Luke Mbamute has the dislocated shoulder and right now is not expected to play in the first round series. He was out 15 games when he did it during the regular season. And so the second time you do it can be even more painful, can be even, they're even more cautious with it because they're worried now about it popping out again. And so that's one thing. But also for the Philadelphia 76ers, which makes their 17-game run even more historic and impressive. They're without Joel Embiid. Now, he's finally been cleared from concussion protocol, but the team itself was not comfortable bringing him back for game number two. So he is not going to play in the second game of their series against Miami. However, the way that they played in the second half against Miami, going back to Saturday, I think it was pretty evident they have just a whole nother gear. And again, this is without Joel Embiid, and it's been awesome to watch. It's not just the young guys. J.J. Redick had a great game too. It's like this momentum just sweeping them along. And I think a lot of the fans coming along too, not just in Philly, but basketball fans, fans who enjoy a little bit of fresh blood, enjoy some of the young guys.
Here's Covington with the ball to the right side. Irsan steps back, three ball shot near. Ilyasova drills it. 11 made threes for the Sixers, and they've opened up a 13-point lead, the largest lead in the game. And Simmons driving. Simmons crosses him over and jams it. Get out of the way. Kelly Olynyk swiping it air, and Simmons with a slam. Ben on a drive. Simmons in the lane. Kick out of Amir. Up top, Dario. Three ball by Sharks is gone. The 76ers lead 109-87. And the Sixers will bring it across midcourt and lead this series one game to none after they take care of the Heat in this opener here in South Philadelphia. 130-103, the final. The 76ers win in game one of this Eastern Conference quarterfinal series.
They're like your children, every win you love. And so the next game, I'm going to tell you the same thing. There is something about playoff winning, for sure, that's different than regular season winning. But to, like, delineate game one as something, we're excited to figure out how to get better. And it's exciting. Game one is, I'll tell you the same thing for game three, is a closeout game. And so we're moving on. We're gonna be excited and try to get better in game two.
They should be excited. Like I said, it's this wave of momentum, and there's a lot to love about the Sixers. Now, they're three seed. They had the home court. They protected it. Again, you don't want to get overly excited, but 74 points after halftime. Wowzers. Just to watch it was incredible. 74 points against Miami after the break. The Heat are really going to need more from Hassan Whiteside on both ends of the court. But how about this? Philly goes 18 of 28 from downtown. 18 of 28. And J.J. Redick was a big part of that with 28 points. But also, Ben Simmons. Eat your heart out, Rajon Rondo. 14 assists for Ben Simmons, who you may or may not believe is a rookie, but still really impressive. First time that the Sixers have scored this many points, 130 in a playoff game, going back to the mid-80s. This is not your dad's Sixers. And according to Elias, I'm all about the nerd alerts tonight. According to Elias Sports, Ben's 14 assists, the second most in NBA history by a player in his postseason debut, second only to Magic Johnson. Nerd alert! Who had 16 back in 1980, and we certainly know how his career turned out. Yep, all about the quirky numbers. This kind of weekend, with so much that was taking place, so much that was happening, the stats were just everywhere, and I had to be judicious in the ones that I would choose. 855-212-4227, that's our phone number. And thank you so much for your Man Crush Monday candidates. You don't have to agree with me. We're not in a competition here. I want as many candidates as possible. Pamela says, hashtag MCN, hashtag big sexy Bartolo Colon. We should just know, right? There can't be more than one big sexy. Marshall, same thing. Hashtag MCM. I'm down to pick Bartolo Colon. He says he's the last Montreal Expo left in the majors. Hashtag nerd alert. How about that? Marshall, a listener after my own heart. Very cool. All right, so send me your MCM candidates, and also who should be nervous. Plus, the news that I woke up to on Friday that, whoa, stunned me. After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.